Speaking of good vibrations, Cindy Darnell, she's one of Australia's leading sex and relationship therapists and sex educators, and she's the founder of the Atlas for Erotic Anatomy and Arousal series. We discussed that last year when she was in. In short, she knows a whole lot about having a fantastic time. And today we're going to ask you for your calls. How do you improve intimacy in your relationship? 1300 222 774 is the number to call. We're asking about your relationship to intimacy and how do you bring it in. 1300 222 774, or you can text 0437 774 774. Cindy Darnell, welcome back.
Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome to you.
Welcome back to you.
It's great to have you back. You've actually come, speaking of things, all things exotic, you've just come from somewhere exotic, haven't you?
I have. I just spent 4.5 weeks in India.
What?
I know.
What were you doing for 4.5 weeks in India?
I was writing my book.
Which book? This is the first I've heard of.
Oh, it's my book about libido, which hopefully will be coming out relatively soon.
That's exciting. It
still doesn't have a name yet because it's still not finished, but it's a how-to guide for getting it on when you struggle a little bit. So I've been writing that. So I spent 5 hours a day, every day, getting up in the morning, having curry for breakfast, and then writing about sex, and then lying on the beach. So I feel really good, except I got back and then I got the lurgy. So I've been,
oh, the dreaded lurgy.
I've been on my couch for 4 days watching the telly, all the shenanigans going on around the world, and now I'm here. I went to the dentist this morning and now I'm here.
Here, and we're gonna talk about intimacy. Now, we know already, and we speak about it quite a lot on afternoons, about the benefits of mindfulness, of living in the present moment and so on, and we know about the health benefits of that. We know about the positive roll-on effects in our lives. Mm-hmm. What's that got to do with sex?
Well, while I was away, I had a lot of time to read and research and do some real kind of investigation into what actually works for people. Because when it comes to sex and sexuality and sex therapy and certainly clinical approaches, what tends to happen is we get very hooked on problems. We get hooked on problems and...
This bit doesn't work.
Yeah, and, you know, why does this problem occur? And they're great questions to ask. But as a therapist, I'm very interested in not so much why is it happening, but how can we work with it? What messages are here and what can we do within ourselves to make some changes to create a better relationship with our sexuality? And in the research that I did, what I found was that there have been many, many studies that prove conclusively how beneficial mindfulness is to working with. The studies that I read were particularly focused on women, so that's mostly what I'm going to reference. But certainly working with women with all kinds of conditions, from sexual pain, vulval pain, through to women recovering from gynecological cancer and even sexual trauma. So these studies have been done by a variety of different professors whose work's coming out of Canada primarily. And it has, with conclusive proof basically, that mindfulness around sexuality works. And because of this, I've been including a lot of this information in the book that I'm writing, but I've also put together a program for women starting on February the 15th, which we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I really want to explain to the listeners the power of mindfulness. Now, I think a lot of folks know about mindfulness broadly at a broader level.
How would you describe it broadly?
Well, broadly, it's based in an ancient Buddhist practice of meditation. And so people tend to think, oh, you know, sitting still and staring at the floor and, you know, breathing. And well, yes, it is that.
But it's also about being in our own lives.
Absolutely. And then, well, since the 1970s, it's become a much more popular thing in the West. And what it does is it's a practice of paying attention to what matters, paying attention to what you're noticing, and not getting so caught up in the things that may distract us, the things that often cause us pain, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, psychological pain. noticing what else is present, that there we have a story that is, you know, possibly painful or possibly causing us some kind of grief, but there's also other things happening at that time, and being able to shift our attention to the things that are going to help us rather than the things that are going to help to hold us back. And this is where mindfulness with regards to sexuality comes into it, because what can happen for a lot of people, especially people who have pain and trauma and so many things associated with sex, which really is the vast majority, the statistics across the board. Yeah, that across the board, we're looking at about 85% of women from teenage years through to women well past their 60s have some relationship with sexual discomfort, which is an extraordinary statistic. That's really an unfathomable amount. So there's something in our culture, in our Western culture, that rattles the cage of a lot of women. And, you know, I can't stop that single-handedly, obviously, but I'm looking at the things that work. And again, I said, you know, we're looking at the tendency is to look at problems. I'm very interested in what works.
I'm going to ask you for some specific examples mm-hmm. of how this way of thinking around sexuality can be useful, of how mindfulness can be brought into our sexuality. I can't help but thinking, as soon as the words mindfulness and sexuality are brought up together, is this focused on pleasure or on more solving issues that women might have?
Mm. Look, it can be focused on anything. I mean, I guess in so many ways, mindfulness applies really to anything you want. It applies to education, it applies to yes. sport, you know, it applies to all kinds of things. But mindfulness, it's about recognizing that, you know, there are alternatives, but it's also about recognizing the interconnectedness of things. So I think one of the myths that we have, certainly about Western interpretations of mindfulness, is it's about tuning out of the yucky stuff and only focusing on the good stuff. And that's not what it's about. It's actually about focusing our attention on the kinds of things that we want to create and the kinds of things that we want to bring into our lives, as well as being mindful of the things that are causing some of this. So why is it that 85% of women are struggling with sexuality? What is it in our culture that could be contributing to that? And how can we change that through public dialogue, through conversations, Claire, like you and I are having as well? So it's not just what happens in the bed, it's also what happens in our public conversations.
I'd be really curious to extend that invitation for a public conversation to anyone who's listening who might have a question for Cindy Darnell, who's today we're talking about intimacy and mindfulness. This is Sexy Time. Cindy Darnell is one of Australia's leading sex and relationship therapists. And I'm wondering if intimacy is a problem for you in your relationship and whether you might have a question that you'd like to ask or pose to Cindy. 1300 222 774 is the number to call, 1300 222 774, or you can SMS on 0437 774 774. Don't be shy, this is your time to shine, because this is Sexy Time.
I've heard people say
with Cindy Darnell. Cindy, I do have a question for you here. This is from an anonymous female.
Okay.
It says, "Hi Claire, I'm so glad you're back and looking at intimacy today. It's the one thing my relationship is missing. We love each other very much, but we just can't get to intimacy. We live as friends in a non-sexual, non-intimate way, and we both don't want that, but it all just feels too awkward. There are no health issues. We're both in our mid-50s. We're both female." Mm-hmm. What's going on there?
Mm. So that sounds more like a libido issue. And libido is something we sort of touched on that, I think. Well, I think we talked quite a bit about that the last time
I was
here.
But we can recap.
And, yeah. For sure. So basically the thing with libido is that it's not something that just kind of lands in your lap and you think, oh, there it is, my libido. Excellent. Fabulous. Where have you been? Libido is something that you have to cultivate, in uh-huh. short. So it's about that idea of considering, you know, if you're sitting at a bus stop and you're waiting for a bus that doesn't come, are you going to continue to sit and wait at the bus stop for a bus that's not coming? Or are you going to find an alternative form of transport? If it's important to you to get to your destination, wherever that is, how might you get there? and what resources are going to be available to you. I think a lot of us get tricked into thinking that libido and sex is this thing that just happens spontaneously. And that does happen for some people some of the time, but that would be the minority of people. And it's especially uncommon among folk who've been together for a very long time. It's I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's very, very rare. We have to remember that there are a lot of reasons that people have sex, and lust is one of them, and it's often quite low down on the list of reasons that people have sex. So I hope that helps you, Anonymous.
So Anonymous, I'm sure Anonymous has spoken for a lot of monogamous long-term couples who over the years are wondering how to reignite this beast.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to a conversation around intimacy and mindfulness, what role do our thoughts play in our ability to still feel like sexual human beings?
Yeah, so that's a really good one. So in terms of a mindfulness approach, what can often happen is the inner critic and that internal chatter can often be a big distraction to having sex and creating the kind of sex life that we want.
What sort of things would you hear?
So the inner critic might say things like, I can't be bothered. Wow, the ceiling needs to be painted. Oh my God, did you notice that bit of dust on the curtain? Oh, Facebook, I didn't send that email to Michelle. So things like that are the kinds of things that can really distract us from the sort of sex we ideally would like to be having. So mindfulness invites us to bring our attention back to what it is that we actually want. Now that sounds simple enough, and in essence, it is that simple. However, mindfulness is a practice. It's not something that you just do occasionally. It's something that you do on a day-to-day level with regard to all kinds of things, not just when you're sitting down meditating on a cushion or wearing your beads or whatever it is that you might
do. Being in India for five and a half.
Or being in India. No. It's a way of life. And it's a secular thing. It has absolutely nothing to do with religion. What we know from a science perspective is it actually changes the way the brain operates. It makes changes in the amygdala, which is the emotion center of the brain, and it helps us calm down. And when we're calm, we're able to focus our thoughts and focus on what it is that we want. So this inner critic, the inner chatter that a lot of us experience, particularly when it comes to sex, for a lot of women, it can often focus around their bodies. Are their bodies okay? Do they look okay? Do they smell okay? Are they doing the right thing? How long is it going to take until they have an orgasm? Or how long is it going to take until I can get out of here and go and do something else? For a lot of women, that can be the dialogue of the inner critic. For a lot of men, it often has to do with things based more around performance. They tend to be more focused on what's happening with me downstairs. Am I hard enough? Am I going to last long enough? And things like that. So all of these things are completely paralyzing to what the whole goal of mindfulness is, which is being present, which is staying in the moment and being connected and being focused. And where these programs in Canada have been so extremely successful is that the results have shown that for the women in the programs, which is based on the program that I'm running in February, have changed, is that with the daily practices, they have all noted a significant change in their ability to not only notice what their mind is doing during sex, but bring their mind back to what it is that they should be focusing on, or that they want to be focusing on, rather, and also the impact that it's had on their capacity to get aroused. So that's the physical component, the engorgement and the lubrication. And I'm going to stop there because
good Lord,
I know that
afternoon.
It's the afternoon.
Cindy Darnell, sex and relationship therapist with us here for Sexy Time. These studies that we're discussing, they're out of the UBC, the University of British Columbia, I understand, which is where I studied as well as an undergraduate.
Really?
They're a wonderful place to be. Yeah,
I studied ethnomusicology over there.
Yep, fantastic. And a very progressive university in terms of its
great
research.
They do amazing stuff there.
Do you think, though, I mean, we're spending a lot of time sort of looking at mindfulness and sex and so on. Do you think it's It's slightly ironic that the study actually begins with a quote from a Buddhist nun, Pema Chodron. I'm going to read it to you now. And it's a beautiful quote. If someone comes along and shoots an arrow into your heart, it's fruitless to stand there and yell at the person. It will be much better to turn your attention to the fact that there's an arrow in your heart.
Exactly.
At its essence, is the practice that you're talking about learning to be with ourselves, regardless of what we're feeling or
yes.
thinking.
Because this is the thing, you know, pain and discomfort are a part of life, part of being alive. I mean, if we're going to look at it through a Buddhist lens, suffering is a part of life. The degree to which we suffer, though, is determined by our ability to tune into and out of what it is that we are going through.
It's such an important definition because often I think we're led to blame ourselves for
yes.
any pain or difficulty that we are having
yeah.
by this sort of our inner critic latches on to new agey talk.
And this is the thing, and it's not about having perfect sex. You know, I'm a sex therapist and I don't have perfect sex, but it's about making room for that spectrum of possibilities, and that's what mindfulness affords us.
I'll try and read you out some of our texts, but just quickly in closing, Cindy Darnell, because Casey Chambers is about to be in the house, my friend. What did you mention that you had coming up on February
15th? Okay, so on my website, cindydarnell.com, cindydarnell.com, I've got a six-week mindfulness and intimacy workshop happening for women. It's on my website under the workshops and events tab if you go there and check it out, and you can book in and you can come and hang out with me on Wednesday night for 6 weeks starting in February.
That sounds completely hot. Cindy Darnell, intimacy expert on afternoons. I look forward to more conversations with you.
I look forward to it too. Thanks for having me.